Unfiltered opinion.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
Does he secure the bag?
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
Woo! I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
In Market Matters this week, we take a look at the expectations around the non-farm payrolls numbers coming out today. We got ADP numbers out this week, and they suggest that there might be a softening of the labor market and the fact that the US yield curve has uninverted and moved around again. Typically, when that happens, it suggests that we are going to be in for a recession. And if you look at the fact that Warren Buffett has done his thing, that could be another reason. But we also take a look at the GDP numbers out of South Africa, positive numbers for the first time in a very long time. We don't know if it's going to be sustainable. For our Market Matters, we're joined in studio by our friends at Finalto. They sponsor the segment for us and allow us to continue doing the work that we do. So this week, as usual, we've got Ruan Landsberg, market analyst at Finalto, and Danny Mawas, CEO of the Finalto South Africa business. Gentlemen, lovely as always having you in studio. Thanks for coming through.
Again. Thank you.
Are we starting in the US this time or are we starting in South Africa?
Unfiltered opinion.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
Does he secure the bag?
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
In Market Matters this week, we take a look at the expectations around the non-farm payrolls numbers coming out today. We got ADP numbers out this week, and they suggest that there might be a softening of the labor market and the fact that the US yield curve has uninverted and moved around again. Typically, when that happens, it suggests that we are going to be in for a recession. And if you look at the fact that Warren Buffett has done his thing, that could be another reason. But we also take a look at the GDP numbers out of South Africa. Positive numbers for the first time in a very long time. We don't know if it's going to be sustainable. For our Market Matters, we're joined in studio by our friends at Finalto. They sponsor the segment for us and allow us to continue doing the work that we do. So this week, as usual, we've got Ruan Landsberg, market analyst at Finalto, and Danny Mawas, CEO of the Finalto South Africa business. Gentlemen, lovely as always having you in studio. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
Are we starting in the US this time or are we starting in South Africa?
Let's start US.
Yeah, go for
I think
it.
Let's start with the non-farm payroll coming out.
Yeah.
Since
today. Always a big contentious thing that comes out at the start of every month.
I think in South Africa, it's probably the biggest talking point. With non-farm payroll, I mean, even in the brokerage space, it's always the biggest talking point where it's actually, in fact, just a small move in the market. I think people just look at it in the wrong way. And the way I see it as well, I mean, look at the data. It's been really, really bearish. So it's been really negative for the dollar. And even today, I don't even think we can go lower in the sense of data, but I think the dollar will remain bearish because I don't think it's going to turn it around.
But I think with the data that comes out as well, especially with this set of non-farms numbers, it becomes more and more important because of that rate cut we're pricing in. So we've all but markets have kind of priced in 25 basis points or whatever. But if the data proves that the US Fed has taken too long to cut, that could send markets into a tailspin. Because right now there's been a big sell-off. I mean, we're 5 days into September and already the US markets have come down by $1.3 trillion, which suggests that people are either taking profits or just not wanting to be around for that rate decision.
Well, I think let's not forget that we are also like in an election year. Let's not forget that it's also September. So what I'm trying to get to here is like, I mean, first of all, September, generally speaking, you see a lot of asset managers who are trying to reshuffle their portfolios based on what have been happening in the past. There have been this soft landing conversation going on for many, many months. And yeah, once again, election year. So, you know, the market is definitely volatile or more sensitive, let's say, than the previous years. Again, just look at, for instance, what has been happening on the gold market. I mean, yeah, we've been talking about gold over the, you know, the past 2 months, but right now gold has been stagnant. So it's like, it seems to me that we don't really know where we are at right now. You know, like traders, asset managers, and so on and so forth. Everyone is waiting to see, you know, like who does the first move. Is it going to be the Fed? Is it going to be smart money? Like, you know, so profit taking, I think so. I think you're right. I think, you know, once again, all of these major players are waiting to see what the Fed's going to do, you know, in the next few weeks. And therefore, yeah, I think they want to unwind some of their position, you know, take some profit and see what's going to happen in the next few weeks.
I think you bring up an important point around the election side of it and how it could influence this, because if we look at the sentiment, we kind of know that with America, Democrats, Republicans, very different views on policy, very different kinds of decisions that take place from that perspective. But the fact that if a rate cut happens now, a lot of the market might not know the extent of the rate cut, rather. If we get a steep rate cut, the market doesn't know whether to price in that was the Fed getting it wrong, or that was the Fed making an election kind of move. Because that's the other thing, right? Is the Fed doesn't want to be seen to be taking sides in an election. A more aggressive rate cut might lean towards more Democratic kind of policies and that sort of thing. So that's possibly what's adding to what you're saying around the fact that September's typically reshuffling time on portfolios. I think for me, the worst thing about all of it is that uncertainty that persists in the US is affecting everyone else.
Of course.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, everyone follow.
I think it's like you, said, it's not like they 20% to the left or to the right. They 100% left, 100% right. So the policies are
extreme.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's going to happen, because if you can bet on the wrong horse, then Trump wins, and then obviously China policies, all those things happen, and then you're going all downhill. And obviously to recover from that is really tough. And I mean, with everything that happened under Biden administration, I mean, the recovery is going to take quite long if they're going to recover it, so to say.
Which again, with when you pair it with the uninversion of the yield curve, that suggests that every time we've seen that happen, the labor market itself has weakened. We've gone into a recessionary kind of environment. In the US, this thing tracks back right back to 1929 and the Great Depression. Happened in the Great Depression, happened in the 1940s, happened in the 2008 financial crisis. And when we start to see that happen now, markets are cyclical. They do kind of tend to follow certain things. But there's a lot of variables to price in. Right? It's the presidential election. It's the stimulus package. It's the fact that we've been anticipating a soft landing. It's the fact that it's an election year around the world, not just in the US. And the China trade war has taken place since then. The Russia-Ukraine war is going on. There's so much other macro data that you don't even know. And perhaps that's why investors are saying we're just going to sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, look, think of one of the biggest investors on the planet, Warren Buffett. I mean, to me, it seems like he's unwinding most of his positions, especially in the banking sector and so on and so forth. So
liquidated Apple, 400 plus million shares of Apple. Then came, as you said, liquidated Bank of America stocks as well, halved his positions and reduced his exposure and said, I'd rather sit in cash.
And I think he's waiting for strong buys.
He is.
So that's the thing. So I don't know.
That's what makes sense, right?
Yeah, that is what makes sense.
That's what makes sense. Is the South African market a buy? Speaking of strong buys, we got GDP numbers out. They look good. We haven't had too many positive GDP numbers, but is it a good time?
Well, I mean, it's 0.4%. It's good, but I mean, I don't think we are out of the woods yet. It's encouraging, knowing that, you know, the previous quarter was revised to zero, I think. Yeah, it was 0%. So, okay, 0.4% now. Okay, it has been led by household consumptions and government consumption, which is quite good, but directly linked to the fact, I think, that we haven't had load shedding for a while, which, you know, improve the supply of, I think it was electricity, gas and water by 3%, which is one of the best figures you could find since 2008. So I think the economy is definitely recovering. This follows what we were mentioning last week, actually, where South Africa seems to be definitely an interesting buy for foreign investor, let's say, in terms of emerging markets. But yeah, I think we definitely need to see whether or not load shedding might come back. And if it comes back, I think it's going to definitely negatively impact the economy, of course. But again, I mean, overall, if you look at the South African economy, we are resilient. You know, we are a resilient economy. We are a resilient country. And JSE companies are performing. So yeah, I guess we would figure that in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, the country is moving forward. I mean, it's not like we started at a good point 12 months back. So I think what we at the moment is going good. The economy is looking better. Everything around the markets is looking better. US obviously crashing to the downside is always improving us or helping us as well. So I see the dollar improving even more, to be honest. Oh, the rand.
The rand.
The rand.
Yeah, there have been calls that the rand will get to 1682. I mean, if I look at it now, I think right now we're probably around the 1770 mark. I'm just trying to see if I can
At the previous podcast, we said we're 17.4, and then from there, probably more downside.
Yeah, so we've kind of prepared to see some good tailwinds. At the moment, the Rand is at 17.70. I suppose with everything that's happening in the US, the decision from a US's perspective will also influence. Yeah. We have to stay on track with our own goals and our own objectives.
Of course.
And then obviously the US will do their part.
Yeah. Let's not forget that generally speaking, your dollar rand exchange rate is mainly driven by the dollar actually, and a little bit less than the rand. So yeah, I mean, once again, like the world as it is right now is pretty much led by the dollar and what's happening in America. So yeah, let's see what's going to happen in the next few days or weeks.
Yeah, there's certainly going to be a lot more focus being placed on markets like the US the closer we get to election season. And that's kind of, how are you seeing the US sentiment at the moment around the Dow, around the S&P? Are we seeing a lot more kind of volatility and movement on markets like the NASDAQ?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's picking up. I mean, we had one of the biggest drops on Tuesday, actually. And I think it's, once again, a thing of, and I explained to Danny as well, I think it's overvalued companies. I mean, everything was overvalued, and obviously performance is going to slow down. And if
you say the Tuesday thing, and I remember now, Monday was a holiday in the US. There wasn't trading. But Tuesday, markets came and sold off insanely. And then the Wednesday, I think Japanese markets as well in Tokyo also sold off quite a bit as well. So there was that sense now that, okay, equities, something needs to happen. Something doesn't make sense. But we also had this conversation in the past, as you said, Ruan, to say that markets have run and valuations don't quite add up to the market conditions. Yeah. The underlying conditions don't justify the valuations. And you thought Nvidia would kind of front run everything. and they gave us numbers. And despite the fact that Nvidia numbers were positive,
it wasn't enough.
The share price. So Nvidia doubled revenue and the share price today is lower than what it was the day the announcement came out about results.
Yeah, but you remember, it's the issue of, I think, once again, it's the issue of playing with investors' sentiment and overselling something. So, okay, let's not forget that Nvidia is printing $30 billion every quarter, plus or minus, right? It's a brilliant company. But I think, you know, the main guys driving the, you know, the company has been overselling their pitch, let's say, to investors and to the markets and so on and so forth. So, you know, when you keep singing the song of saying, oh, we are the best, we have the best, we have the best, and then you come up with some normal numbers, so like aligned with expectation, then, you know, people are like, well, actually, you're good, but you're not that great. So let me pull a little bit of my money and invest somewhere else. And I think that's what happened.
Yeah, but I also think something I read yesterday is if you look at the elections once again coming up, remember, all these big companies are backing one or other side. Yep. So if you look at X, for example, X is backing Donald Trump publicly. So obviously, if Donald Trump wins, X is going to go through the roof. And that's why they said Facebook needs to meet, Meta needs to jump on the train to other parties, both parties, offer them the same thing, because whoever wins is going to be backed by that specific party.
Of course.
So I think that's also a big play at the moment, is both parties are backing different companies, different equities. And obviously, if you're not in the right side, then...
But also generally speaking, your stock market is backing the Republicans.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, that capitalism always backs capitalism. Makes sense. Kind of makes sense. They kind of stay with one another and are fairly consistent in that space. So at the moment, we're kind of in a bit of limbo, I suppose, with some of the markets. Yeah. I think
wait and see.
Yeah, it's very much a if you can stay out, which is interesting because I had a chat with David Shapiro at Sasfin Wealth in the week as well. And I asked him the same question and he said, no, get in.
Yeah, the opposite.
But that also speaks to the fact that there's opportunity out there still. So even though markets might not be where we want them to be, there is opportunity.
Always.
And it's about seeing where that opportunity sits, I guess.
I think it's at a point where it's high risk, high reward. If you back the right thing at the moment, it might pop off. But
no, and also, I mean, I think it depends on your strategy, right? I mean, you have some global macro fund, you have some micro fund, and then you have, you know, the ones who are like cherry picking the stock. So I guess, you know, for instance, in terms of opportunities and so on and so forth, if you go into like a granular analysis, then yeah, I'm sure you can find the opportunities. But if you are like global macro right now, I think you want to be on the sidelines and wait and see what's going to happen in November.
The smart money might be on the sidelines. And we'll leave it at that. That's the Market Matters for this week.